Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something that, well, it shapes our daily lives in countless ways, often without us even realizing it. Economic systems.
Absolutely, they're fundamental.
And for you, our listener, who's keen on getting a clear understanding of crucial topics without getting, you know, bogged down, this should be really insightful.
It really should. I mean, think of an economic system as the basic rule book a society uses to deal with a fundamental problem.
Scarcity. Right. Limited stuff. Unlimited wants.
Exactly. Limited resources. But we always seem to want more. So how do we decide who gets what? That's the core question these systems try to answer.
Right. And it affects everything from, I don't know, the price of coffee to global politics.
Definitely. So our mission today in this deep dive is really to unpack the main ways societies have tried to answer that who gets what's question.
We'll be focusing on three main models, yeah. Market, planned, and mixed economies.
That's right. Those are the big three. We've got some great material that breaks down how they work, the theory, and the practice.
Okay, so it all seems to come down to a basic tension, doesn't it?
In a way. Like, do you prioritize individual choice in free markets?
Or do you lean more towards collective goals, maybe more government direction?
Exactly. That's the central tension we see playing out. So let's dig into those different approaches.
Okay, let's kick things off with the market economy. When we talk about a market economy, what's the core idea there?
Well, at its heart, a market economy is all about decentralized decision making. It's really individuals and private companies making most of the calls.
Calls about what specifically?
About, you know, what gets produced, how it gets produced, and ultimately who gets to buy it.
And this is driven by market forces?
Primarily, yes. Supply and demand. The government generally takes a step back. You hear that term, laissez-faire?
Let it be. Minimal interference.
Right. That's the classic idea. Let the market sort things out.
Okay, that gives us the big picture. But what are the essential building blocks of this system? What makes it tick day to day?
Good question. There are several key characteristics. First off, private ownership is huge.
Owning the factories, the land, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Individuals and businesses own the means of production. Second, the profit motive. That's a major driver.
People wanting to make money.
Right. It pushes people and companies to produce things people want. Then there's consumer sovereignty.
Which means the customer is king.
Sort of, yeah. Consumer choices really dictate what gets produced. If everyone wants green shoes, businesses will make green shoes because that's where the demand and the profit is.
Makes sense.
Then you've got the price mechanism. Supply and demand interact, setting prices, and those prices guide where resources should go.
Like signals.
Exactly like signals. And finally, as we said, minimal government interference. That's fundamental to the pure market model.
Okay, so a lot of individual choices adding up. How does that actually work in practice? How does stuff get made and distributed?
It's like a constant feedback loop. Consumers signal what they want by buying things.
Voting with their wallets.
Pretty much. High demand usually pushes prices up, which tells producers, hey, make more of this.
And producers want to maximize profit, so they look for efficient ways to make it.
Exactly. They're always looking for the most cost-effective production methods. And then, who gets the stuff? Well, largely, it comes down to purchasing power.
So, who can afford it?
Right. Those with more money can buy more goods and services.
Okay. Now, focusing on individual action and competition, what are the upsides? What are the benefits we typically see?
There are some pretty significant advantages. Competition often leads to quite efficient resource allocation.
Because inefficient firms just don't survive.
Generally, yeah. If you're not meeting needs or you're too costly, you'll struggle. It also really encourages innovation and entrepreneurship.
Because there's a reward for new ideas.
A direct incentive, yes. Develop a better product, find a cheaper way, and you can profit. Consumers usually get a huge range of choices, too.
And the system can adapt quickly.
Very much so. It tends to be quite responsive to shifts in what people want or what resources are available. Think about how fast tech changes, for example.
Yeah, good point. But, okay, I'm guessing there have to be downsides too, right? A system driven by profit with little oversight.
Oh, absolutely. Big potential downsides. One major one is inequality. Income and wealth disparities can become really significant.
Because it's based on who can pay.
Right. Wealth can concentrate. Another issue is public goods.
Things like what? Roads?
Yeah.
National defense?
Exactly. Things everyone benefits from, but it's hard to charge individuals for directly. So there isn't always a clear profit incentive for private companies to provide them sufficiently.
Right.
And then you get market failures. Pollution is a classic one. A factory might make things cheaply, but impose costs on society through, say, dirtying a river.
And the price doesn't reflect that hidden cost.
Precisely. The market price is too low, socially speaking, and maybe most fundamentally, there's the risk that people with very limited means just can't afford basic necessities.
Right. Okay, let's shift gears completely then. Let's talk about the planned economy. What's the core idea here? It sounds like the opposite.
It really is a fundamental shift. In a planned economy, the government, or some central authority, basically takes the wheel.
They make all the big economic decisions.
Pretty much. They own and control the major resources, the means of production, and they steer the economy using detailed central plans.
So very top down, not bottom up, like the market. What defines this kind of system?
Key features. Well, first, public ownership. The government owns almost everything, land, factories, banks.
A whole lot.
Generally, yes. Then there's a central planning agency. Their job is to set the big economic goals and figure out how to achieve them through these detailed plans.
And profit isn't the main goal anymore.
No, profit takes a back seat. The emphasis is usually meant to be on social welfare or maybe hitting specific national targets the government sets.
Okay, and prices? Production levels?
Control. The government sets prices and decides how much of everything gets made rather than letting supply and demand do it.
Which means less choice for consumers, I imagine.
Often, yes. Production follows the government's plan, not necessarily fluctuating consumer desires.
So how does that decision-making actually happen? Who decides, we need more shoes, less butter?
It's the central planners. They decide what gets produced, ideally based on their assessment of what society needs and what the long-term national goals are.
And they also decide how things are made.
Yes. They control production methods, too. Maybe they prioritize using lots of labor, or maybe they focus on strategically important industries.
And who gets the goods at the end? Is it still based on who can pay?
Not in theory. The idea is allocation based on equality or plan distribution. Meeting needs according to the plan, not just ability to pay.
Okay, so what are the arguments for this system? What are the potential upsides?
Well, a major argument is reducing inequality. If the government controls distribution, they can aim for a much more even spread of resources.
In theory,
yes. They can also aim for things like full employment and potentially greater economic stability, because things are planned rather than fluctuating wildly.
And focusing on big goals.
Right. They can direct massive resources towards long-term projects, think big infrastructure, or boosting health and education without worrying about immediate profitability.
And maybe less waste.
Potentially. Central oversight could, in principle, prevent some kinds of waste, like, say, five companies all building slightly different competing factories when one large one would do.
But, I mean, history suggests these systems face huge challenges. Where do they tend to fall down?
Yeah, the track record isn't great. A massive problem is often inefficiency and resource allocation.
Why is that?
Well, without market prices acting as signals and without the profit motive, it's incredibly hard for planners to know what people actually want and how much to produce. You get shortages of some things, massive surpluses of others.
The information problem.
Exactly. It's just too complex. And there's often less innovation and entrepreneurship.
Because there's less incentive. Less freedom.
Both, really. Less reward for risk-taking, and individual initiative can be stifled by the central bureaucracy. Planning errors can lead to big mismatches between production and actual needs.
Right.
And then there's the lack of freedom. Limited choice for consumers is obvious, but producers also just follow orders. Think of those images of empty shelves or long queues.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we have market and planned, the two extremes. But you said most real-world economies aren't pure examples. That leads us to the mixed economy.
Exactly. And that's where most countries actually land. A mixed economy is basically a hybrid. It tries to combine elements from both market and planned systems.
Trying to get the best of both worlds.
That's the idea, yeah. Recognizing that both pure systems have good points and bad points, and trying to find a balance. You typically see a private sector operating alongside a public sector.
Okay, so what are the defining features of this mix?
Well, you see both private and public ownership coexisting. Individuals and firms own property, make decisions, but the government might own key industries or provide essential services.
Like utilities or healthcare?
Often, yes. And there's usually significant government regulation. rules about environmental protection, worker safety, consumer rights.
So the market isn't totally free?
Definitely not. Both the market's price mechanism and government planning or intervention play a role in how resources get allocated.
You see both profit-seeking and social welfare goals.
Yes. The private sector is generally driven by profit, but the government aims to provide a social safety net and address broader societal concerns. Private property is protected, but usually with some social responsibilities attached.
How does decision-making work in this, well, more complicated setup?
It's definitely more nuanced. In the private sector, it looks a lot like a market economy, consumers and producers reacting to prices and demand.
But the government steps in.
Right. The government intervenes where it thinks the market might fail or where there's a strong public interest, providing education, healthcare, regulating pollution, managing the macroeconomy.
So resource allocation is a blend. Market signals plus government priorities.
Exactly. Think of subsidies for green energy that's the government nudging the market, or taxes on cigarettes that's discouraging something. It's a mix of market forces and deliberate policy choices.
What are the claimed benefits of trying to strike this balance?
Well, the hope is you get the dynamism and efficiency of markets, but you use government power to smooth out the rough edges.
Like addressing inequality or pollution.
Precisely. Addressing market failures, providing public goods, promoting social justice. It aims for both efficiency and greater equality or security.
Encouraging private business while still looking after public welfare.
That's the goal. Harnessing private initiative while maintaining a safety net and pursuing collective goals.
But I imagine it's not always easy to get that balance right. What are the potential pitfalls?
Absolutely. Finding that sweet spot is the constant challenge. Government intervention itself can cause problems.
How so?
Well, regulations can become burdensome, lead to inefficiencies, create red tape. Sometimes intervention can be influenced by politics or lobbying, leading to poor outcomes or even corruption.
And balancing profit and social goals must be tricky.
It's a perpetual tightrope walk. Too much regulation might stifle growth. Too little might lead to instability or inequality. You can end up with the problems of both market failures and government failures if you're not careful.
Okay, so we've talked about how decisions get made. Let's zoom in on resource allocation specifically. Labor, capital, raw materials. How does each system dish those out? Market economy first.
Right. In a market economy, it's mostly the price mechanism, that supply and demand dance.
So money flows to where the profits are.
Essentially, yes. Firms produce what consumers are buying. Resources, labor, investment naturally shift towards industries with high demand and high potential returns.
Which makes it flexible, right?
Very flexible, very adaptive. If people suddenly want more, say, vegan food, resources will shift towards producing that.
But the downside we mentioned might neglect things that aren't profitable.
Exactly. Social needs that don't translate into high market demand might get underserved.
Okay, and in a planned economy, how are resources allocated there?
It's totally different. The government, through its central plan, dictates where resources go.
So planners decide. This much steel for tanks, this much for tractors.
Pretty much, yeah. They set targets for production, for employment, for distribution. Huh. Resources are directed based on whatever the national priorities in the plan are.
Which could be good for, say, rapid industrialization.
It can be, yes. Yeah. You can mobilize massive resources for specific goals. But, as we discussed, it's often really inefficient.
Because the planners don't have perfect information.
Right. They struggle to know what's really needed, leading to those shortages and surpluses, and it's slow to respond to changing needs.
Got it. Finally, the mixed economy. How does it handle resource allocation?
It's that blend again. You've got the private sector allocating resources based on market signals, profit, demand.
But then the government plays a role too.
Yes. The public sector provides services like defense, roads, maybe healthcare, funded by taxes and allocated based on social priorities decided politically.
And the government also tries to influence the private sector's allocation.
Definitely. Through things like subsidies, taxes, regulations, price controls sometimes, they try to correct perceived market imbalances or steer resources towards areas deemed important, like renewable energy or affordable housing.
So, trying to get market flexibility but also achieve social goals.
That's the aim. Efficiency and responsiveness, tempered by intervention for broader objectives.
Okay, this has been super helpful in breaking down the systems. Just to lock it in, can we do a quick side-by-side on those key differences?
Sure. Let's hit the highlights. Ownership of resources.
Market is private. Planned is government. Mixed is, well, mixed.
Right. Decision-making.
Individuals and firms in the market. Central authority and planned. shared and mixed.
Profit motive.
Strong in market. Basically none in planned. Present, but regulated and mixed.
Price system.
Market decides in market economies. Government decides in planned. A bit of both in mixed.
Innovation.
Tends to be high in market, low in planned, moderate in mixed.
Generally, yeah, equality.
Often lower in market, theoretically higher in planned, moderate goal in mixed.
Yeah.
And efficiency.
Often seen as higher in market, lower in planned, aiming for a balance in mixed. Perfect. That really clarifies things. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the main thing you want you, our listener, to take away from all this?
I think the key takeaway is just how differently societies can approach that fundamental economic problem of scarcity. Each system prioritizes different values, freedom, equality, efficiency, stability, and uses totally different tools.
And there's no single perfect answer, right? It's all about trade-offs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every system has potential strengths and potential weaknesses. Understanding them gives you a framework for seeing why different countries operate the way they do.
It helps you analyze the choices societies make and the consequences of those choices.
Absolutely. So maybe a final thought for you to chew on.
Go for it.
Considering everything we've discussed, the pros, the cons, the trade-offs, what aspects do you think are most crucial for a really well-functioning economy today? Is it maximizing freedom, ensuring equality, driving innovation, promoting stability? And maybe, why do different societies seem to land on such different answers to that question?
Exactly. Why do they weigh those factors differently? It's complex and it touches on culture, history, values. This deep dive is really just scratching the surface, isn't it? There's always more to explore about how we organize ourselves to meet our needs,